Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Happy Monday. Happy Jack here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, you know, going a little nuts.
Yeah.
I almost forgot about this until my phone rang. I thought we did this already because I was online with you last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we're seeing too much of each other. I don't know.
Nah. Although, yeah, and I was with you Sunday. I was online with you Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been together a lot this past week.
I know.
Considering we live pretty far away, that's a lot of togetherness.
Yeah. How's that Tim Tam Slam?
I did a video. I made a video of it yesterday to promote it a little bit. So for anybody who's watching or listening, we learned at Old York Cellars this past weekend what a Tim Tam Slam is, and technically, it started with how to eat the cookie, or they call, I don't think they like calling it a cookie, with coffee. But the Australians, gotta love the Australians, they changed it to drinking it with port. So you'll have to come back to Debbie's and my social media blog post coming up soon to see exactly how cool a Tim Tam Slam is. But, you know, I'm kind of addicted to it. I want to get going. You know how I love sabering. Now I want to Tim Tam everything, you know?
And I know you were hesitant on port.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was surprised by the port because it wasn't syrupy, and that's what I don't like about port. But that's all coming up in a future blog post.
Now,
I don't know.
Now we're talking about
Jack here. So welcome to Wine for Bet Street. And the letter of the day is J, and we're going to see Elmo, hopefully.
Do you have Elmo with you?
I do. There we go, and here he is.
Our mascot,
there's Elmo. And Elmo is here to discuss Jack here today. And I hunted around for my bottle of Jack here. It wasn't that easy to find a bottle here, a bottle there, but there wasn't a large selection of them. I ended up with a choice of two. How about you?
Well, I had had Jack here, and this is funny. I order wine from this place, Garista, in Washington State. And last year, I think it was, I had ordered, you know, I'd seen it. I'm always looking for stuff that is different that I can't find here. And I had ordered a bunch of them. Jack here and a bunch of the wines from the Savoy region. Altesse, is it called? Altesse. I don't know. I had no idea what I was ordering, but what I will tell you is when I drank them, I loved them, and I'm like, I gotta research this. But you know, time takes over, and unless sometimes you have a reason to research, you know, I mean, I really wanted to, but and I had three bottles of it, and they were great.
Wow.
But, and they were in a tall bottle. So when it came time to buy a bottle for this, I was kind of stuck because nowhere down here has a selection of wine. And when I was looking back at home up in New York, I couldn't find it either. So I actually ordered it from Wine Chateau.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't have a choice. There was just one.
Right. Yeah. So that actually leads me into our sponsor. So We have sponsored by Wink, which is W-I-N-C, and they have a whole bunch of wines that you can go in and you can order from. This wine is not from Wink. They did not have a Jack here, but they do have, you know, a lot of, they have Cabernet, they had a Nebbiolo, they have Petit Sirah, lots of choices. And basically, it is super simple and super fun for you to do. All you have to do is log on to their website, and you take this little profile quiz with fun little questions about your, you know, what you like, what you don't like, what you eat, what you don't eat. And by you answering those questions, they are going to give you a palate profile. So they pop up after you answer the questions. It takes like less than 5 minutes. They pop up with 4 suggested wines for you, and you can either choose those wines or not choose those wines and go pick whatever you want. And then if you do 4 bottles into your cart, they're going to cover the shipping for you. So, I mean, it's a pretty awesome deal, right? There's no membership fees. There's no obligation. You can skip any month that you want. So you get 4 bottles this month, but you don't want them next month. You can just put it on pause until you're ready to come back to it. Wines start at about $13 a bottle, so it's pretty darn cheap.
Not bad.
Right? Albarino, Cinsault, Gewurz, Malbec, lots and lots of choices. So if it sounds interesting to you, all you need to do is go to TryWink, which is TryWinc.com/winefabet. And if you put in that website, you are going to get $20 off of your first order. So that's going to give you 4 bottles shipped to your door for about $30. Can't go wrong, right?
No, you can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong. I love it. I mean, I use it. It's pretty cool. I've tasted 2 of the bottles that they've sent. They're both decent. I like them. And, you know, $13 shipping included to your door, kind of a no-brainer, right? Good way to explore. I just was hearing, I think it was Martin Redmond, who just got into the Century Club,
okay.
Which is, you know, you keep track of the different varietals.
I have to do that. I started to, and then I, you know.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what, that's kind of cool. And with Winefabet Street, with us keep trying all these different, you know, varieties that we're doing, I'm like, I've got to do this. It's kind of cool.
I have the sheet right here on my desk somewhere on that. But yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. So, I mean, I think that I'm going to start looking into what it is. Some of the wines I pick up have like 5 different varieties in it, and apparently they count. So if it's a blend,
oh, really? I know that.
Yeah, if it's a field blend, you can count it. So I'm going to go for it. Right?
I might be there.
Yeah. So anyway, but we are here for Jack here. Okay.
So I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger, a wine writer. I own a co-owner of Happy Bitch Wines. I'm an author of Tapping the Hudson Valley, which is a book about day trips and weekend itineraries, traveling through the Hudson Valley. March 30th, I'm opening a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, called Kitchen 330. I've got 2 kids and 2 dogs, and I'm going kind of nuts now, and I probably left something out, but it's all yours.
And I'm Lori. My husband Mike and I own Dracena Wines, which is a boutique winery in Paso Robles. We specialize in award-winning Cabernet Franc, and we produce a rosé of Syrah now. And our big news is we just started a wine club. So we, you know, you can join our wine club. It is very different because, you know, Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting kind of jealous. So we decided to give him the wine club. So the wine club is called Chalk Club, which is perfect because it's March Madness right now. And when it's chalk, it means that you're betting on all the favorites. And we're betting that we're one of your favorite Cab Francs and Rosés. So head over to DracenaWines.com to find out. We actually are giving a progressive discount. So you start off at 15% off, but for each year you parlay, get it? Parlay. Okay. Each year you parlay, you go up 5%, up to 25% off all of your wines. Right? And we're giving, and it's $15 flat shipping. And we're going to give you $15 as a house bet for your second shipment. So we'll cover that second shipment for you. So again, head over to DracenaWines.com and check out Chalk Club. We are going into general characteristics, but can we show our wine and can we drink so I can drink while you're talking?
You know what? I'm dying for a glass. I haven't eaten anything today but a salad.
I had one of my my Costco burritos. That's my meal of the day.
I haven't eaten anything. I was too busy making a chalkboard menu. This is what I've got.
All right. So this is what I've got. Happy wine for Best Street.
Yes. Happy wine for Best Street.
Slancha. All right. General characteristics.
Okay. So the general characteristics of Jahir. Is that the way you pronounce it? You're really good with that.
That is the way I'm seeing. That's the way I'm seeing to pronounce it. Yes.
So this is a picture of the Jahir grape. The Jahir grape is a grape that has great acidity. So if you are an acid head, which I am, you will like this grape. Even, you know, it grows in a cool climate because this is located up in the French Alps towards Switzerland, the Swiss border. But even like if it happens to be a warm year, which can affect the acidity of the grape, the wine actually never gets above 12%, and the yield on the grapes can be very high. So the aromas of the grape, you can get green apple, fresh cut grass, some peach. I get a little fresh cut grass. What do you get? You get anything?
This is apple.
Apple?
Yeah, this is a lot of apple. I can kind of see fresh cut grass. I can see grass, but this is like lots and lots of apple.
And I've got a little green apple. They also take on the aromas of the mountainous region. So you might get like, think of a beautiful day on the ski slopes and you're in the lodge and you just step out to go to the lift and you take that deep breath of, you know, the fresh mountainous air. Sometimes you will get aromas of that, like the clean crispness, which goes in touch with the acidity. So I'm talking with my hands.
Yes.
So the wine, I was so looking for a picture that I had taken, and I know I took it of the what I had drank last year.
Right.
And I was looking for a picture of it because it was really, pale yellow, and I couldn't find one. I don't know what happened to it. But anyway, the wine made from Jahir is pale yellow in color. It's somewhat of a medium-bodied wine. You'll get flavors of white flowers, some pear, green apple, white peach, grapefruit. It also will pick up a little bit of the minerality of the soil that it's grown in. So you really get a taste of the terroir. So there might be a little bit of flintness within that, you know, clean, refreshing acidity. Also, the wine is really good consumed within the first 3 years of the vintage. So I think that's it.
Oh, alrighty. Yes, I am getting...
That's a white grapefruit.
Apple.
It's not a lemon. It's a white grapefruit and a pink grapefruit. I couldn't find a really good picture of a white grapefruit.
This, I'm getting pear and peach also. So this is rather typical then of what I should expect.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so on to the history of Jahir. There's going to be a little bit of overlap because, well, it just isn't life if there isn't, right?
That's right.
Okay, so Jahir is the Savoie's most widely planted grape variety. It actually accounts for 50% of all of the plantings. It is produced as an early drinking low alcohol and a very lively wine, which is that acidity that you were talking about. And as you said, you can expect flavors to range from white flowers, which are floral, to the fruity pear, white peach, grapefruit, and the mineral and flintiness. So the Savoie is a French department in the Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes region in eastern France. As a wine region, though, Savoie consists of many isolated subregions and plots of vineyards scattered across the French departments. So there's the different departments are the Savoie, the Haute-Savoie, the Isère, and the Aisne. And the Savoie neighbors Switzerland to the east, Jura to the north, Bougie to and across the river is the Rhône River. So it's got a lot of kind of more famous, I think, neighbors other than the Bougie. I've never heard of that. Have you?
No, never.
Yeah. Nick, where are you? I need you back again. So I've never heard of that one, but they do say it's little known. So it's got a lot of popular neighbors around it. Okay. Jacquire originates in Savoie and is grown there mostly exclusively with a few hectares in Portugal. DNA analysis is not complete on the parentage, but the current research suggests that Jacquire is one of the many offspring of Gouaille Blanc. So the other is unknown, and they have gone out on the limb here and have suggested that the other grape is of French origin. I don't know. That's really stretching the, you know, that's going out on the limb, guessing where it's coming from. All right. So it is the offspring of Gouaille Blanc and of some other French origin grape. How's that for beautiful, right?
That is nice.
Jacquire grows among, and this is, I absolutely had no clue about this. It's actually, the history of Jacquire is actually really, really sad. Jacquire grows among and on massive limestone blocks, and these limestone blocks are the result of a month-long intense rainstorm. So on November 24th, which happens to be my grandfather's birthday, in 1248, so long before my grandfather, in 1248, the giant slabs of limestone that were on top of this mountain actually gave way because it was raining for a month. And the rocks fell down 7 kilometers into the valley below, landing completely burying 5 villages, all of their inhabitants, and all of the livestock.
Wow.
Right? So in the end, there was a cliff face that was about 900 meters high, but nothing lived or grew there for decades. And this is known as the Apremont or Bitter Mountain. So the rock slides still occur today, with actually the last one being on May in 2016. So pretty
2 years ago.
Yeah, right? So after the tragedy, they actually renamed the mountain Granier, which is after one of the villages that were lost below. So the villages are the Cognon, the Saint-André, Saint-Perange, Verrier, and the Granier. So that is now Mount Granier after that village. Jenkins Robinson, I never know how to say her name. Did I say it right?
Janice.
Yeah, but it's J-A-N-C-I-S. So forgive me all, you know, Psalms out there and everything. She gives the earliest mention as 1868 for Jacquire. However, there are people who say that the first mention of Jacquire was actually back before the limestone rock fall, before the collapse of Mount Granier. But I couldn't find any reference in writing that it actually took place, or the first reference of Jacquire was before that landslide. Everything seems to me 1868. And it is the first document that is found is from a French ampelographer, which is actually an expert in the study and classification of grape varieties. His name was Pierre Tocchon. And he actually described the vineyards and vines in the hilly region known as the Abim de Mayans. And he actually mentions Jacquier back then. So it has been growing in the Condreu vineyards, but it is actually not allowed to be in any wine in the Condreu Appellation d'Origine Protégé. So it's grown there, but it's not allowed to be in any of the wines if they want the AOP designation. After some increased plantings in 1980s and 90s, it has remained a constant area, hectares, has been pretty constant at about 1,000 hectares across France. The varietal is actually generally reproductive. So it is one of those grape varieties that you want to make sure that you keep track of, because it will get very green. The leaves will take over, and then when the leaves take over, the vine goes out of balance. It is also an early budding variety, so that can be a problem also. So it ripens in mid to late in the season and gives the best results when the canopy is well pruned. So again, everything goes back to vine balance. You want to make sure that there's enough energy going into the vine to support the fruit that it's growing, and that you don't want all the greenery to take up all of that energy. This is a lovely picture by France. It's a website, and it shows, you can kind of see the effervescent in the bottom of it, which is petulance and or petulance. And mine definitely has it. Does yours have it?
No, but I don't have a, I have a stemless glass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mine definitely has some.
And I have to tell you, I don't have a white wine glass. I just grabbed the first glass I got.
Okay.
I put my wine in the freezer because I forgot to chill it. So I'm batting 1,000 here. Happy Monday.
Oh. Anyway, the last bit of it is, so as I said earlier, Jacquier makes up more than half of all the grape plantings in Savoie. And as you said, you can expect a very light pale yellow with aromas and flavors of white flowers. As I said, you can expect to see the petulance or the effervescence, and you can feel it on the tongue. And that typically tells you right off the bat that it was aged on lees. So I'm guessing sometimes it's not, sometimes it is, but the aging on the lees is what tends to give it the effervescence. And Jacquier is also one of the lead varieties in the new Cremant de Savoie appellation, which was only introduced back in 2015. So Jacquier on its own must account for 40% of the blend, or for 60% of the blend if it contains no Altesse. So another 6 complementary varieties are allowed, with a maximum of 20% red varieties. So to me, that's a lot of hodgepodge to become an apple. Like, I didn't really understand how you can call it a Jacquier if it's only 40% of a blend. So they're saying it's at least 40%. But I guess just to put the designation of that appellation on there, you have to have at least 40%, but you're not necessarily claiming that it is a Jacquier wine. Does that make sense?
I'll tell you that Altesse is pretty good too, because that's what I got too.
Yeah.
Altesse. They're really crisp and acidic, and
that is what I love. That is what I love.
Even a wine person can have no idea what they're drinking and not have the time to research it, but they know that they like it.
Yep. Yep. And as I say all the time, drink what you like. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise.
That's right.
So let's see your bottle again. What are you drinking, and tell us about your wine?
I am drinking a Vin de Savoie.
Okay.
Jean Jex. Which is Jacquier. And it's produced by Eugene, Carol, and Phils.
No, come on, Eugene?
Yeah, you got the same one?
No, I'm just saying Eugene, it's French. Eugene?
Eugene. E-U-G-E-N-E? With the apostrophe on the E.
All right.
So when I was in Burgundy, I should have asked, what the fills mean? F-I-L-S.
Oh, after I don't a know.
Name. Because there's other, a lot of names
isn't,
are that.
Isn't that like an of? Like,
I don't know.
Like Lord William of whatever.
I don't know. Or actually, John J-O-N, this word that I can't pronounce.
John, I'm guessing.
That's, I think, an area. That is an area.
Okay.
Oops, as I break the glass. In the region where the grapes are grown. So how about you?
So I am drinking, see, my guy's name is Jean-Pierre. Now that's more along the lines of what I'm drinking. Jean-Pierre Effils. So there's that Effils again.
Yeah.
And 2016 Cuvée Gastronomique Abîme.
Yeah, mine's a 2016 as well.
So an Abîme. I don't know. I'm just going to say. Abîme is an area, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is John.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes. So I'm just going to say I am 32% fluent in French now, according to Duolingo, and I don't know what Phil's is. They haven't.
Okay.
That little darn owl has not taught me what Phil's is. So maybe I have to get a little bit more than 32% fluent. So I'm going to pour myself a little bit more because I've already drank half of a glass.
I am too.
And it's always so good to hear that noise.
So mine's a family-run winery. How about yours?
Mine is also, except he is very big. But it
not
is
really
family.
My guy's small.
So I'll go. So,
okay.
My guy, Gilbert Perrier, or I'm sorry, Jean-Pierre Effil, 2016, was actually, the winery was founded in 1853, and Gilbert Perrier and his son are actually the fifth and sixth generation to make wine in this region. So, the domain has slowly expanded over the generations, but they are strict on their quality, and, you know, they say that's their priority. They are a leading Savoie producer with 21 hectares under vine. Vines for the whites are mostly planted on clay limestone, and the reds on granite and clay limestone, and they have the vines have a southeastern exposure near the city of Chambéry, and that is in Savoie. All of their wines undergo manual harvest with gentle pneumatic pressing and temperature-controlled fermentation around 20 degrees Celsius. So they are pretty strict. That's pretty, because I think that there's quite a bit of mechanical harvesting going on, but they are manual. Most of the wines complete malolactic fermentation to a lower acidity and avoid the secondary fermentation in bottle, which I found rather interesting because their cork, which is synthetic, which
mine was too. I have mine.
Which
over
is
there.
You don't see that too frequently anymore, but you can. It says mise en bottle. I'm like, what are you doing in bottle? It's not going through a second fermentation. Yeah. Well, I'm so confused because you're not going through a second fermentation, and that's usually what you see with that, right? But anyway.
My cork's got a number on it. Does your cork have a number on it?
Yes. Yes. A long number?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. Vinota 021. Oh, wait, it's the same thing. Wait. What's your number? Oh, I feel like we're doing a lottery.
217-5079.
Okay, so 0217. I wonder if that is bottling date. Oh, mine is vino of bottling date. It's got to be. They bottled in February.
Okay, mine's a 2016.
Bottling date. Could have bottled February of 2017.
Oh, 17.
Right. And then mine's 9998, which I don't know what that would correlate to.
5079.
So maybe it's there. Yeah, that's got to be bottling date. I don't know. I have to look that up. But I was very confused by Mise en Bouteille because I don't get that. Anyway, so as I said, they avoid secondary fermentation. So the cork is kind of confusing me. The wine shows light, dry, alpine profile, lean fruits, high acids. It is considered one of the best Jacquires to grow in the region because it's a Cru village. There's three Cru villages, and Abîme is one of them. Apremont and Cruet is the other two. So Abîme is located just about 50 miles away from the Swiss and Italian borders, so it's sandwiched there, and less than 100 miles west of the Alps from Turin. So Abîme is actually in the shadow of the Alps, and Gilbert Perrier and his son take special care to extract the most flavor from this actually cool-weathered fruit. So the wines are young, they're youthful, they're fruity, they're brisk, they're acidic. There's, you know, not too much not to like about it. And my bottle was regular price, $12, on sale for $9.99.
Oh, you got a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good deal. I think mine is $15.
Yeah. So, you know, it is a dry wine. It's medium bodied, like you said, high acidity, definite apple on the nose. A little bit more citrus as it sat out a little bit. Minerals and peach and the grapefruit. It's there. Pretty much everything you put on that is on here. So kudos.
Thanks. So mine, he's somewhat of a small producer. It's from in the hamlet of, I know I'm not pronouncing this right, Chango, in the Savoy region, which is on the left bank of the Rhone River. The family runs 59 acres. They're planted on the slopes of the Chavez Mountain, which is also known as a hot mountain. They've been in business six generations since 1830. When World War II ended, Celestine Carroll, Eugene's father, he returned from captivity. He was in captivity, and he returned and he took up on the farm. It wasn't vines, it was cattle and grain. And in 1970, when Eugene took over from his dad, he started to repurpose the farm and started to specialize in, you know, grow some grapes. So in 1975, they only had 7 acres of grapes. And in 1990, by 1990, they developed 23. In 1994, Oliver, Eugene's son, joined his parents. And up in 1977, I'm looking at my notes, and that is just not right. In 2008, they were up to 44 acres. The soil is a chalk marl, which kind of looks like little pebbles. Their vineyards benefit from 1,800 hours of sunlight a year. And they have, because they're on the Rhone and they're also on Bourget Lake, they have a little microclimate, which really helps them. And very steep slopes, so it's hand harvested. That's just a little bit of information on them. So they've been in business for quite a while. So this particular wine that's in my glass, let's see. The soil is calcareous.
Calcareous. I don't really know that because Paso has a lot of calcareous soil, a lot of sand, and we have a winery called Calcareous.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So I got to do my math here because I didn't do it. And I'll tell you how many productions. It was 3,1,200. So there's 12 cases divided by 12. 2,600 cases of this was made.
Oh.
90% of it is hand harvested. 10% is machine harvested. They use, once it's picked, it immediately goes in the hydraulic press. It gets separated from the, separated. Low temperature alcohol fermentation in stainless steel tanks, which allows it to retain its aroma. It's aged surely on the lees until bottling. So, and pretty much, I just love crisp. Nice crisp wine. I swear, a little bit of that mountainous aromas. Maybe that's because it's supposed to snow here in the next 2 days as we welcome
I kind
spring.
Of, what is it? I should know this from botany. There's a term for sap.
For what?
For sap. Like if you take a pine needle and you break the pine needle open.
Oh, sap.
There's a sap. That's what I'm getting now. It's like, I don't, but I'm going to, oh my God, my biology is like going out my brain right now. But it reminds me of the sap of a pine tree.
Okay. I don't have that. I definitely have cut grass.
Yeah. Mine is, yeah. And it's going to, I'm going to wake up at like 3 a.m. this morning with that damn word in my head. It's going to wake me up for what it is, but.
I'm usually up at 3, so you can text me.
Okay.
I usually wake up at 3. So this I definitely get green apple.
Yeah. Are you getting the white flower?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I get white grapefruit on the finish. I will tell you, though, as it warms up, because this I just poured, it's pretty cold.
Because it was in your freezer?
I do get more, what?
Because it was in your freezer?
It was in my freezer, and I'm doing the talk boards. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to get that out. It's going to be too cold. As it warms up, the pear, I get a little bit of pear. Because
right.
My first pour, as it sat here, I did get a little bit more pear.
Yeah, there's...
So I really like this wine.
I like it. I do. And at $9.99, it's definitely a go back and buy some more.
This, and I'll tell you, I would drink this when I ski. I haven't skied since I moved down here, but because I have no one to ski with.
I gave up my skis. Never mind. I sold my skis when we did the California thing.
well, you can rent them.
I can.
So when I ski, when I go in, and I'm, I want a beer. That's what I drink when I go in. But I would drink something like this. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see
it's
it sitting.
To me.
I can see it sitting on an evening, actually like tonight, because it's not so cold here tonight, mm-hmm. With a nice little fire pit and sitting there. I can see that. I can get it. I'm feeling it. Which leads us into food pairings. Thanks to the high acidity that Jackia has, it pretty much pairs with anything. So it actually, not necessarily the flavor profile, but the concept of the high acidity, the crispness of it and that, it reminds me of like a sparkling. Like, champagne can go with so many different things. And this, with the acidity, can also go with a whole bunch of other things. So... green apples, walnuts, Thai salad, peanut Thai salad, and the so difficult to pair a gosh darn wine with avocado. It's like, this will go with an avocado. So it's like, I don't know. Avocados are one of the most difficult foods to pair a wine with. And bam, here you go. This is a suggestion for you. Okay. All right. This thing, I don't know, but it kind of sounds intriguing to me.
That looks really good.
Right? But I don't know, is that...
I could make that.
Yeah.
What Rebla Shan cheese?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like a, but when you look at the cheese in there, it looks like it's more like a ragout type thing, but more, what's the other word for the healthier cream cheese?
Niflango or something?
Yeah. That's what it kind of looks like. But this is a tartiflette. I'm guessing. I don't know how to really pronounce it. But, I mean, you kind of can't go wrong. Potatoes, bacon, you know, like, can't go wrong. Well, first of all, anything with bacon in it is good.
I'm starving right now because I have yet to eat.
Yeah. But it does, right? I mean, bacon, cheese, double cream. It's not exactly the healthiest thing on the face of the earth, but...
The acidity will cut through all that. It'll be nice.
Yes. And this popped up all over the place for the Savoie region. So they weren't claiming that it is the food of the region, but if you put in Savoie, this is the meal that comes up. So I'm going to have to give it a try because it really does look good. But I do need to...
I think we got
to
get together and make that because that looks really good.
Okay. Deal. All right. I have to research what the actual cheese is because I'm not getting that anywhere near me, I'm guessing. But I'm sure Mike can come up with a suggestion to replace it. Okay. Eggplant parmesan. Okay. I don't do that, but I get it. I can see how it pairs with it. I think any type of lasagna, stuffed shells, anything like that is going to go with this. But I think
because of the acidity, it'll cut through the tomato acidity.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Again, not touching this. Smoked trout. That is,
No,
not on my plate, not in my mouth. Blah! Yuck.
Okay. Get Mary to make that.
Yeah, no, not happening. This is why I have difficulty explaining things because I don't eat anything. Smoked trout, not happening. But again, understanding what it is, I think it would pair perfectly with this wine.
I think it would go great with smoked trout.
Yep. And the number one food pairing with Jacquier, cheese fondue.
Ah, my favorite.
Cheese fondue. In fact, the origins of cheese fondue can be found in Switzerland and France, the Rhone Alps, which is exactly where this wine is found. So as the saying goes, drink like, eat like, right? Or however that saying actually is, right? It's not surprising that fondue is in there as the number one pairing. The Savoyard cheese, never heard of that cheese either. But Savoyard cheese actually comes from the Haute-Savoie region. So you can't ask for more than that. You're getting cheese from the exact region that the wine is coming from. It's going to go together.
Oh, that's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. So that is the food pairings.
I love fondue.
Do you know I have never actually had fondue ever?
Really?
Those melting pot stores and stuff, or restaurants and stuff. I've never gone to one of those. I've never.
Really?
No, because
we had fondue, cheese fondue at wine night one night, and we had four different types of cheese fondues.
Oh.
Anne made four different types of cheese fondues and cheese fondue pots. Oh my God, it was so good.
So here's the reason why I show you my quirkiness. I like to call it quirkiness. It kind of freaks me out that you're just going to stick your food in the cheese and then pull your food out, like, and eat it, and then I'm going to stick my food in the cheese.
No, you put it on your plate and you eat it with a fork. Yeah,
but I've never seen anybody do that. Whenever I've seen fondue, people are just sticking it in there. It's like, you know, it's like double dipping. I'm not into the double dipping scene. I can't do it, you know.
Well, I'll have to get you a little pot and just have your own little pot.
Give me my own little cheese fondue and we're good. And then the other thing is people put things in that, like, I don't eat. And then that freaks me out. Like, if you're going to put a food in that I don't eat, then it's in that cheese and all. It's like,
yeah, but it doesn't take on the flavor.
It doesn't matter. I know it's in there. It's quirkiness of mine. No, it's in there.
I like to roll up salami and put it in the cheese fondue.
And little pieces. No, see, little pieces of food are in there. I can't. Food and me really don't get along. I'm very, you know, it's not that I eat healthy. No, by far, no. You know, I am the processed queen of the world, you know. Give me a Pop-Tart, give me a Hot Pocket, and I'm a happy camper.
I grew up on Pop-Tarts.
But I can't.
When I stay at my sister's house, they have Pop-Tarts.
All right. I'm good. Chocolate fudge, and I am in heaven,
yes,
man.
Yes. But I now like the vanilla ones better.
Oh, no. I'll eat them. And then the other thing is, well, not that you do that, but like the it's kind of the same thing with the chocolate fountain. I can't deal with the chocolate fountain because people just shove their food in the chocolate fountain.
No, I've never had a chocolate fountain.
I can't do that. Plus, the big thing is strawberries in the chocolate fountain, and then I'll end up in a hospital because I'm deathly allergic to strawberries.
No.
But yeah, the dipping thing freaks me out. I can't do it. So, no cheese fondue unless you're going to give me my own little cheese fondue, little pot, then I'm good. I'll give it a shot because I love cheese.
You're funny. I love cheese too. Oh my
and
god.
And quirky.
Quirky. So should we go into the five fun facts?
Absolutely.
So
look at that. That's beautiful.
Jakir is known as the Muscadet of the Mountain.
I'll steal that and put that on Instagram tomorrow.
And it thrives in clay limestone and rocky soil.
Oh.
It's grown in the chondro.
Chondro-U.
What was it?
I think it's Chondro-U.
Chondro-U vineyards, but it's not officially allowed to be used in any AOP wine.
See, now that I got to go back to that. Like,
I want to know, what do they do with it?
I guess they sell it off. That's, I don't know. I'm going to my resident, wine specialist, Nick, and I'm going to ask him that. I don't know. I don't get it, how it grows so well in a region that you grow it, but then it's not allowed to be in the region. So.
Yeah. So production has also begun on this very small scale in Portugal, where it's known as Molet de Montmeleia, or Martin Cop.
Yes, I saw the Martin Cop. When I was looking up for the letter M.
Daddy.
When I was looking up for the letter M, I found Martin Cop.
So then I got the Who's Your Daddy, but you said that its daddy is
Gloyous. Yes.
Blanc.
Yep.
But I thought that, you know, that was the mother. So.
Oh, well, you know what? I call everybody the daddy. I call everybody, I don't know. It's when it's two white grapes, it's tough. You know, this is so bad. I shouldn't say, but I'm like racist with, or not racist, with the word with grapes. If it's a red grape, I don't know. I call the daddy red. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I was like, who's your daddy?
Yeah. It's always who's your daddy.
That part of one of the genes is the Gloyous Blanc, and the other is thought to be an unknown French origin.
Right. I don't know.
So, you know, it's floating around and it's giving us the last laugh and it's, you know, going, haha, they can't figure me out.
Yeah. We'll figure it out eventually. Well, we won't, but somebody will.
Somebody will. Some mad scientist will.
Yes. Yes.
So.
I am enjoying this very thoroughly.
I am too.
I'm not upset with the $9.99. So, as we finish our glass, where are we going next?
Where are we going next? Next, we're going to go to K for Cabinet. And we'll explore more or less. I mean, we had a hard time trying to find a K. So, we'll explore the different variations of the German sweetness levels, I guess, would be the easiest thing to say. So we're going to explore the Cabernet grape.
And, you know, I was trying to figure this out. And do you, there is a, I don't know what it's called, like, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, or Roy Jabiv. There's some term for that. Do you know what that's called?
Okay. No.
Okay. But there is something to help you remember the levels of the German, you know, where Cabernet fits in there.
Right.
Do you know that? Do you remember that scene?
No.
No?
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I've got to find out what that is. But Cabernet, without doing any research whatsoever, is more along the sweeter lines, correct?
No, it's the driest.
It's the driest?
It is driest.
Well, that's good for me because I don't want the sweet stuff. I don't want sweet stuff.
I'm pretty sure it's the driest. And I have my Cabernet because I ordered my Cabernet when I ordered my Jacquire.
Yes, I have. So we can talk about this because I think we both have them. So we have Cabernet coming up for K.
Right.
We have
Lambrusco
for L. We have Mencia, which is Spanish.
Yes.
Okay. For
from the Galicia region, which I didn't even know until I hopped on SomChat on Wednesday.
And I kind of promised Ryan that we would do Nebbiolo
for N.
So. Okay.
I might have a Nebbiolo in my wine cellar.
So that is what we're doing.
I'll have to check.
So
that's what's coming up on Wine for Bed Street.
Yes.
And
our next date is, Cabernet is?
April 16th.
Perfect.
Yes. I will remember that because it will be before we go back on the Wine Writers Wrap Up,
which will be the 23rd.
I'm telling you, that threw me so off. And I remember getting up today going, I got to start working on Cabernet. Mm-hmm. And then I saw your postings on Wine for Bed Street. You go, what is she doing? We did that last week. And I was like, totally.
Yeah. But I'm excited about the Wine Writers Wrap Up next month also because we are talking wine etiquette. So the do's and don'ts of wine etiquette.
I got a lot to say on that.
Yeah, this is gonna be a rapid fire one. So
yeah.
Yes,
I have a whole area on wine etiquette.
All right, we'll have to reference that in next month next Wine Writers Wrap Up. But so we are all done. And I
think we are all done. I think that wraps up.
Yeah.
And I just want to put the link in for wink. The link in for wink.
The wink in for wink. The link in for wink.
Wink is our sponsor.
Yes.
And that's the link. The link for wink.
Wink. So once again, it is trywink.com/winefabet. Get $20 off of your first order. And that pretty much gives you 4 bottles of wine delivered to your door for $30-ish.
And we will see you next month.
Yes, but you didn't mention our website.
Oh, that's right. We have this great website, winefabetstreet.com.
There we go.
You can watch all the episodes that you've missed, and you can register for all our upcoming episodes.
And so you can register once, right?
You can register just once and you'll be registered for all of them. If I think there's an option to choose that.
Right.
So, and even if you can't make it and you register, you'll always get the replay. I think that's
That's a wrap. So.
That's a wrap.
Elmo says good night and sláinte.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily,